Got your Bible this morning. Would you go ahead and turn over to the book of Galatians with me this morning, Galatians. And we're going to look at chapter 2, verse number 20. If you don't mind, that's a familiar verse. We'll look at that one together, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Apostle Paul is writing to this grouping of churches. And again, this is the churches of Galatia, which was a region. It wasn't a particular church like Philippi or Thessalonica. So he's writing to a group of churches. And I want you to look at what he says in Galatians 2:20, kind of a familiar verse. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to notice the first part of the phrase there. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. You know, when you think about Apostle Paul, he wasn't the same person he was before he got saved. And when he got saved, his life transformed. And again, I want to just look at that for just a little bit. Preach on that thought out of that phrase there, I live, yet not I. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to please again help us not to miss what you have for us this morning. May you be honored and glorified. Thank you for what was just sung. Lord, may we worship you, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, both outwardly and inwardly. You're a great God. Thank you again for your goodness to all of us. Father, thank you again for the ones that made it to church this morning. Lord, you have a purpose and a plan for every message. I ask you to please use it in the hearts of each person. You're great to all of us. And Lord, may again we recognize that and honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, I don't know if you've got that verse memorized or not. It's a very good verse to memorize. Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I was thinking about Apostle Paul as you walk through his life. And of course, in Acts chapter number 8, he gets saved on the road to Damascus in Acts number 9. But in Acts number 8, what's he doing? The Bible says, and he made havoc of the church. And it says, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Apostle Paul, you know, he was the opposite of what we would say was a Christian. I mean, here he is taking Christians and putting them in prison. And of course, he called himself an injurious. And he says, I'm the chief of sinners. And he talks about the grace of God in his life. And church, I mean, I want you to just think for just probably bring out three thoughts from these chapters 1 and 2, actually, this morning about what made him different. Now, church, I mean, can I just remind us all that if you're saved, that's what makes the difference, all righty? And that's what he says there in that verse. If I can just pinpoint the phrase again, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And just remember, what makes us different is that there's a Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, and Christ is in us. And that's what changes this thing. Just remember, you think about Apostle Paul, you think about Zacchaeus, you think about Mary Magdalene, you think about the maniac of Gadara. What did all these have in common? I'll tell you what they had in common. They got saved later in life, and their lives transformed, all right? In other words, here you have a crooked tax collector, and he decides he's going to be honest. Here you have Mary Magdalene, who the Bible says had 7 devils inside of her. You had the maniac Gadara, who cut himself and lived in the tombs, and after he gets saved, the Bible says that he is sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Now, we look at people's lives like that, that are older, and think, man, what salvation does in a person's life. Now, we have kids that have grown up in the Christian homes, and they get saved and put their faith in Christ at age 5 and 6 and 7. And sometimes I don't think that they see what they were saved from and what God's done. God transforms a 5-year-old just as much as he transforms a 30-year-old. There's more baggage with a 30-year-old than there is with a 5-year-old, but the transformation takes place the same. We're sinners needing a Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. And whether you're 5 or 30, you realize that and you believe and receive. Believe that Jesus died for you and you receive him as your personal Savior. Of course, John 1:12, but as many as received him. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people who know of Jesus Christ, but they've never received Jesus Christ. And so again, I'm talking probably to the choir this morning. How many know for sure if you died today, you're on your way to heaven? Say amen. 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 Aren't you glad of that? Let's not take that for granted, the day you got saved and how God brought you and how he drew you to himself. Jesus said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Again, I've often said, you weren't looking for Christ. Christ was looking for you. And he gave you a free will. And that free will was to believe and receive Christ when he did call you. I believe with all my heart that the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit or the sin unto death is when God draws a person to them and they reject that drawing and they don't get saved. I'm so thankful for salvation this morning. So what causes a person, what caused Apostle Paul to be different? I want to tell you, it's because Christ lived in him. We often quote the verse, and it's true. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's unfortunate that our Christianity today is people want to be conformed to the world and yet call themselves a believer. I think when we get to heaven, I think that phrase is going to come out where God says that you're going to stand before him and they're going to say, hey, did not we prophesy in your name? And Lord, and of course, God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. There's people who have that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Just, I mean, there is a power. That power is the Lord Jesus Christ. What causes us to say no to sin? What causes us to live a life under Christ? It's Christ in you. It's that Spirit of God. Galatians 5, verse number 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's that Spirit and flesh that's fighting within us. Church, I mean, what makes the difference in a person's life is salvation. And then this Sunday morning, it used to be that a person would come to church both lost and saved. And I feel like that over time, it's not like that anymore. Most of all, saved people come and we try to invite lost people to come to hear the gospel. But the majority of people that are sitting in a service are people who know Christ as their Savior. Church, I mean, what's the deciding factor is salvation. It's because when before I got saved, I had no Spirit of God inside of me. Before I got saved, I had no Heavenly Father that would answer my prayers. But when I got saved, I've got access to the throne. After I got saved, there's a Spirit of God that convicts me of sin and reproves me of unrighteousness. So Apostle Paul, what made the difference in his life? I think it's very clear that what made the difference in Apostle Paul's life is because he got saved on that road to Damascus. It wasn't just a matter of a light coming down. It was a matter of Christ coming down. And when he got saved, his life completely turned around. He went from trying to hurt people to caring for people. He went from arresting Christians to trying to have people get saved, become Christians. All of these things took place. Why? Because I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Why? Because Christ liveth in me. And so again, be thankful that you're saved this morning. And I know that we struggle in our Christian life so many times, but I'm going to tell you something. We would have a whole lot worse life if it wasn't for salvation through Jesus Christ. Something else I want you to see, if you don't mind, I think that made the difference as far as making Paul a different person than what he was. When he says, I live, yet not I, what caused that to happen? Well, would you look at chapter 1, verse number 10 with me? Chapter 1, verse number 10. I know we're not reading the whole chapters, but I just want to pinpoint some verses with you. Paul said this in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Church, I really think that the reason, again, in the context of Paul's letter, is when he gets to chapter 2 and verse number 20, saying, hey, it's not I. Christ liveth in me. Yes, it was salvation, but Paul got to a place in his life, he was not concerned about what people thought about him. In verse number 10 again, he says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Just remember, I want to tell you something. When you get to a place in your life that I'm not worried about what people think of me, that's when there's a transformation in our life. You talk about peer pressure. There's adult peer pressure. So many times we live our life based upon what people think about us. Church, and we're supposed to live our life based upon what God thinks about us. What does God want in your life? What's his will for your life? That should be the pressure on our life, but so many times we allow people to make the pressure on us. Church, look at chapter 2, verse number 6. Again, reading a little bit of his letter that he wrote here to the Galatians. Chapter 2, verse number 6, but Paul said, but of these who seem to be somewhat, and I was talking about these disciples or Christians, they seem to be somewhat. Whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. And that sounds like Paul, doesn't it? God accepteth no man's person. Jump down to verse number 10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was forward to do. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Just remember, the thing about Apostle Paul, he was not concerned about what people thought about him. Listen, if you're going to be different, if you're going to make a difference for Christ, we're supposed to live our lives unto the Lord, not unto men. What was the thing about the Pharisees? The Pharisees, the Bible says, love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What changes us is salvation. What changes us is not being worried about what people think about us, but being worried about what God thinks about us. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said this in verse 32. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Just what makes the difference in a person's life is when we stop worrying about what people think about us and trying to live our lives based on what God thinks about us. The maniac Gadara, the first thing he said, the maniac Gadara says, Jesus, let me go with you. Jesus said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Just remember, I want to tell you, taking a stand with people is the salt and the light that makes the difference, whether we're at work or whether we're with family. But so many times we allow people to change us instead of us changing people. I was telling the family the other day, we were at table together, but I was talking to them about the bowling alley here in town. And of course, We used to use the one down at the Kansas University, and it closed down. Brother Dawson was with me one day. We were going down to Kansas University to bowl, and he said, "You know, you got this other bowling in Allentown." I said, "You know, I don't go to places that serve alcohol, and I don't want to be around alcohol." He said, "Well, at least let's just go in there." And so him and I went in there. First time I'd ever been there. Years we'd been here for years. Big bowling alley. It's not a commercial for them, but here's what I was trying to get you to think about. Sure enough, I told the owner. I said, "Now listen, the reason we don't come here because I don't be around alcohol." I said, "We don't want to be part of that restaurant that you have. I don't want to be around that. I want a place that if the kids are going to bowl, where it's not going to be alcohol." And so he said, "Sure enough, I was in there 2 weeks ago or three, maybe at the most, two or three weeks ago." And I said, "You know what? I just want to tell you, I really appreciate it. You don't have beer ads all over the bowling alley." Amen. And here's what he said. He said, "That's because of you." Amen. He said, "Those years ago when you came in here and told me you don't want to be around alcohol," he said, "it got me thinking." He said, "The reason there's no beer ads around any of the bowling alley is because you guys come here." Now, gentlemen, can I just tell you, I got to thinking that all of us, if we would take a stand about what we believe and what we do, we could change people instead of people changing us. Now, what causes a Christian to be different is I'm not concerned about what people think about me. I'm concerned about what God thinks about me. Paul said, God is the judge. And if God's the judge, he's the one I've got to please. So what causes us to be different? We're different because Christ lives in us. What causes us to be different is because we don't live to please men. This is what Apostle Paul in his life said. "For do I now persuade men or God?" God's the right answer. All right? Look what he says next here. I want you to notice in your Bible, jump down to verse number 16. Verse number 16 says this, chapter number 1, verse number 16. The Bible says, "To reveal his son," I'm going to read verse 15 if you don't mind, "but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Now, just remember that word "immediately" gives the indication that as soon as Paul got saved, he was going to tell people about Christ regardless of what people told him, whether he could or could not. And by the way, he was the one that was throwing people in prison for talking about Jesus Christ. But look what takes place next in this verse here. Verse number 17. It says, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, in my Bible, in verse 18, I circled 3 years and I circled 15 days. Because to me, it shows the significance of what changed Apostle Paul's life. 3 years in Arabia was more important than 15 days with the Apostle Peter. Peter was the one that day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. Can I just tell you, our alone time with God is what changes us. Hey, I'm all for coming to church, and I'm all for rubbing shoulders with a brother, and I'm all for hearing preaching. But there's something about your personal time with God that changes you. It changes you. You know, I think sometimes we as Christians, I do that because the church says so. No, I'll tell you something. The church is not the changing factor. What's the changing factor is the Spirit of God that dwells inside of you. And the more you put that book in you, that's what changes you. So Apostle Paul, when he's speaking here, he says, "Hey, listen," in chapter 2 and verse number 20, he says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet not I." In other words, this body is here, but I'm not the one living. It's Christ living in me. If you're saved, that's what changes you. Then Apostle Paul says in chapter number 1, he says, "Listen, I'm not concerned about what people, am I a servant of God or a servant of people?" He says, "I'm a servant of God." Hey, I want to tell you, more people's lives would be different if they stopped living their life to match up what people think and try to live their life based upon what God knows and wants for our life. And then he makes this statement. He says, "Now listen, for 3 years I was in Arabia." Just remember, we know the story of Apostle Paul. We know that he was on the road to Damascus. The light knocks him down. He goes into Damascus and Ananias comes to him. And of course, he gives him his sight. He gets baptized. He stays in Damascus for a little while. And the longer he preaches, they get mad at him. So they have to let him down in a basket with a rope to get out of Damascus. He goes to Jerusalem and nobody wants to have anything to do with him in Jerusalem, because obviously that's where he was arresting Christians. From Jerusalem, he goes into Arabia, and he's gone for 3 years. I want to tell you something. I think that's when Apostle Paul really got a hold of God, and God really got a hold of him. What changes us? It's God's word. What changes us? It's our time with him. That's why it's so important to get up and read your Bible. That's why it's so important to get up and pray. Why? Because that's what changes us. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Jeremy, all of us should be different. We should not be like the world. Be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God says, I don't want you to be fashioned like the world. I want you to be different. How can you be different? You get saved. How are you going to be different? I don't care about what people think. I care about what he thinks. How are you going to be different? I spend quality time alone with the Lord. It's not about how much time I spend with the brethren as much as it is how much time have I spent with God. You know, our children are being raised in Christian homes, and of course they get saved early on, and of course then we, either Christian school or homeschool, we try to educate them in a Christian manner. Our kids have never drank, they've never smoked, they've not been immoral, and so they've been raised in a Christian home, and they've been raised right. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when they get to be 18, they're not staying faithful, they're not staying true to God. They get to be 18 and they want to go do their own career. They get to be 18 and they want to just get out of the house and not to obey the rules. I want to tell you why. Life transformation takes place because you're saved. Life transformation takes place because you don't care about people. You care more about God. Transformation takes place because I spend time with the Lord and the Lord does something in my heart and life. It's not a matter of your family making you what you are. This idea of, well, you've been brainwashed all your life. I want to tell you something. The people who are doing the brainwashing is the world. It's not the Christian. The Christian has the truth because we got the Bible. The Bible tells us how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do. And again, as we would just obey it and read it. You know, I won't have you turn to it, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. But the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. But what is it doing? It's dividing the heart, the intents of the heart. The Bible says it's the God's word that cleanses us from the inside out. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. All of us need that change of life. And by the way, the first part of that change happened the day that you bowed your head and received the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. But can I just tell you, there should be a continual change. When we talk about growing in grace, there should be a continual change. Why? I'm not living my life to be able to please people. I'm living my life to please God. I'm spending time with him on a regular basis. That's what changes me. Would you read one more time now, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. What did Paul say? He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you why the Christian should be different. Because he loved you and gave himself for you. Our life's on our own. We should live our lives for him. Hey, I want to tell you something. You want to be different? Just do what Apostle Paul did. He got saved, didn't care about what people thought. He wanted to be a servant of Christ. And he made sure he spent more time with God than he did with man. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?